This is the Ladbrokes Racing Channel. Keep up to date with all the latest racing news and previews at news.ladbrokes.com. And for all the latest odds, head to ladbrokes.com. Online, on mobile, and also on tablet.
Hello, you're listening to the Grand National Preview. My name's William Geldart, joined in the studio by Ben Stones and Matt Mower. Put those sweepstake kits away because we've got all the answers you need. At least we hope so. And we're going to kick off by each taking a look in-depth as we can at our selected runners. Who wants to kick off?
So I suppose the obvious place to start is shut the front door. You've got the whole McCoy narrative going on. It's his final national and he's on the favourite. And I actually think he's got a good chance. He's obviously officially short because of all that's going on around it. But, you know, I think he'd be at the top of the market anyway. He ran in the 4 miler at Cheltenham last year. He was given a hold up ride by Nina Carberry. And I think he probably would have preferred being ridden a bit handier. I thought he stayed on really well that day and he did well to get close to the leaders after a few blunders. After that, he went on to win the Irish National, where he was ridden handier by Barry Geraghty this time. And again, he stayed on really well. He looks like a proper stay of this horse. This season, they took him for a spin round Carlisle, where he won easily from Vintage Star. And he's a decent horse in his own right. I think they would have liked to get another run into him since then, before coming to Aintree. But John J. O'Neill says he's been schooling well at home and he goes well fresh, so I won't worry too much about that. I think he's got a really nice combination of class and stamina, and he's a worthy favourite.
Okay, that was Matt, by the way. I'm going to go next then from one potential winner this year to a proven winner. That's last year's winner, the 25-1 shot, Pinot de Rey, with Daryl Jacob on board. I think it's fair to say it hasn't been plain sailing since last year's renewal win, 11th in the Pertemps at Cheltenham. Don't know how much we can read into that. Obviously, it's been over hurdles since Aintree last spring, sort of keep his mark down. Nothing to write home about. Not making a very convincing case, am I? But what chance him being the first horse to defend his crown since Red Rum? Well, Dr. Richard Newland himself, the trainer, has admitted this horse was bought to be a national horse. And we saw that last year bear fruit. Third in the Pertemps last year before his win and won a chase at Exeter. As I said, his prep hasn't been the same this time round, but this horse knows how to get the job done. And that is Pinot de Rey. Ben, give us your first selection for the National.
First horse I really like is Rocky Creek. Now, this horse couldn't have been any more impressive at Kempton last time when he won the Betbright chase. He stayed on really well. He put the rest of the field, he put the race to bed. I think he had Rajdhani Express, who we've just seen go on to win at the Topham Chase behind that day. So that form looks fairly strong. He's bypassed Cheltenham, so he'll be much fresher than some of the other horses who might have taken in the festival. He had a breathing operation in the summer. Last year he finished fifth, and Paul Nicholls wasn't happy with the way that he was finishing off his races. Now that operation seems to have worked wonders because he's looked really well. You have to ignore a Hennessy run, which was just too bad to be true. After the first couple of fences, if anyone had backed that horse in that race, you knew you'd done your money. Like I say, he's fifth last year. He's down 2 pounds in the weights. He ticks a lot of boxes for me. He handled these fences well, and I think if turning up fully tuned up, he should run a massive race. And I think I would personally have him shorter than the favourite shut the front door. As Matt says, I think the favourite is probably artificially short due to the AP McCoy factor.
Okay. And would you say that's where the thinking man's money is going on horses like Rocky Creek, rather than obviously shut the front door?
Well, I've backed it, so give that what you will. I mean, I'd like to think so.
All right, there you have it. Thinking man Ben Stones. Right, have either of you two got something that's pretty big in the market? Few horses, that is, yes. So we want some big prices. Let's have a real outsider now.
The biggest one I've gone for, it's not that big, it's 40-1, is Across the Bay. This is his third national and he's been really unlucky in his previous two after being run really wide by loose horses. He's a bold front runner and those types tend to do well in the national. And if there's anyone who knows how to win the big one, then it's Donald McCain.
Yeah, I'll put another little word in for Across the Bay. This is a horse I really liked last 2 years. And as as Matt said, he looked like he's really enjoying himself out in front last year. And then I think the loose horse, I think it was Tidal Bay, just completely wiped him out. And his chance was gone from there. He got round the finish. So he jumps his fence as well. An outside one for me, I like having a little interest on a 100-1 shot most years. One I'd probably pick out, I'm not sure if he's quite that price, but it's Gasoline Boy for Philip Hobbs. Now, this horse was fourth in a Grand National trial behind Life for It at Haydock. He was staying on quite well, and he absolutely banked the last. He landed basically on top of the fence, which just halted all momentum. I don't know if he won that day, but he was staying on well. Before that, he won at the track. He'd beaten the subsequent Welsh National winner by 13 lengths, so that form stacks up really well. He looks an out-and-out stayer, and I think he's very, very much too big for what a horse he could be.
Okay, I'm going to weigh in with my own biggie. That's 51 shot Bob Ford, Rebecca Kurtz's charge, winner of the West Wales National, Fos Lass, earlier in the year, in a race where only two finished. Absolute carnage and likely to encounter, obviously, a fair bit of trouble in a race like the Grand National. Now, pulled up last time out in the Midlands National, but the big one here has been an obvious target, and those recent stamina-sapping trips are likely to put him in good stead, I think. Rebecca Curtis got a wish to have Paul Townend on board one of her mounts, not on her favoured runner, which was obviously the injured T for three. I'm going to look for some support here from either of you. It may not be forthcoming. Word for Bob Ford? No. Shaking of heads. All right, fine. Okay. I'll continue. Stories and hype horses. I'm going to go back to one of last year's or last year's hype horse, which was this year's 33-1 shot Monbeg Dude. Liam Treadwell's going to take the ride for this one. He's obviously had a few jockeys on board before. All the talk last year, as I said, was all about the Dude, the Royal Connections helping, of course, and we were told with the schooling by Zara Phillips how much his jumping had improved for it. In the end, seventh in last year's National. Of course, we all remember that dramatic Welsh National win back in 2013. Let's look at more recent form, though. Fourth in the last year's Welsh National. Well out of it at Cheltenham in the Ultima Business Solutions Handicap Chase. Druid's nephew taking that one. But the point I'm trying to make is we know he stays, but he's still prone to the odd mistake and perhaps not fluent enough. But with a bit of luck, could you see this one filling a place?
Yeah, I think, as you say, that is what it's going to come down to, is luck. This horse, he comes from the back quite late on. So with these back markers, you're going to need plenty of luck because there's bound to be a few fallers, and obviously avoiding them is going to be all in, you know, it's going to be necessary. I read the Connections are really disappointed with his run at Cheltenham. They didn't know what was up. I think they put a tongue tie on him for that race, so maybe that was something to do with it. But I think if reproducing last year's run, there's no reason why he can't make a place.
Okay, moving on then. Matt, give us your next selection.
Well, we can't talk about this National without having a word for Balthazar King. Now, I absolutely love this horse. I think he's a bit of a legend. He's obviously better known for his cross-country exploits, which he's won dozens of. He came here last year after winning it at the festival and finished runner-up, and it seemed like a bit of an afterthought that year, and he had to work really hard to win at Cheltenham, so you know that might have left its mark. This year they've skipped the festival and sent him here fresh, so it's been laid out for this race all along. He's around 10-1, 11-1, but if he doesn't fall or get any bad luck, I think you can sort of guarantee that this one will be in the premises staying on.
Would it worry that I know you said that he goes well fresh, but would you worry that he's not had a prep run? Obviously, he's not run since November.
Not particularly. I think Philip Hobbs knows what he's doing, you know, better than me. Just, who am I to say he's like needed a prep run? We'll soon find out, I suppose.
We certainly will. Balthazar King, definitely a strong shout and like to form on many people's shortlists. Ben, give us another one from yours.
Not necessarily one on my shortlist, but there's a couple near the top of the market that we should probably mention. Both Cheltenham Festival winners. First of all, Druid's nephew, who we've already mentioned. He was a relatively easy winner of a decent handicap at the festival. He looked a really good stare that day. But I don't know, I'd worry about horses that have run at the festival and gone to the end. Maybe if a horse had fallen at the first, maybe you'd forgive that and you think, well, they're not going to be too tired. But after a hard race, or a long race, I suppose, there'll be those doubts in your mind. I mean, Neil Mulholland's in decent form, at the moment. And you probably have to wonder whether this horse would be a shorter price if he was a Paul Nicholls or a Nicky Henderson, because he was very impressive at the festival. He was seventh in the Hennessy, staying on towards the end. So he looks a good stayer, and he's there for a good run if he's over those Cheltenham exploits. Another one in the similar sort of vein, I suppose, is Cause of Causes. Now, he won the 4-miler at Cheltenham, so we know he's all about stamina. Now, that race was his first win over fences, and that was on his 11th attempt over the larger obstacles. So you'd have to worry whether he was perhaps trained for that day for Cheltenham, whether that was his day that he was trained to be peaked, and perhaps the Grand National might have been an afterthought, if the Grand National can be an afterthought, I suppose. He was smashed by Shrunk to the Front Door in the Irish National last year, which we need to remember as well. So neither of them are for me, but they justify their place towards the top of the market, I think.
All right, well, from form and claims to hearsay, and that leads me on to First Lieutenant. Nina Carberry on board, 25-1 shot. Obviously, she had a great win earlier in the week at Ainsworth on the Fringe. Could become the first female jockey to win the National, which would obviously be a massive story. I don't know how much with First Lieutenant we're relying on sentiment, though. Obviously, last victory for him came in the bowl here in 2013. Hasn't had the best of times of it since. Came third from four runners in a prep race over hurdles at Turlers last time out. Dead last in the Irish Hennessy, of course. But the connections don't seem to be worried, and neither is the jockey. They're certain this horse has been trained to peak at Aintree, and at his best, and with a bit of luck, he'll have strong claims. Do either of you agree with that?
Yeah, I think this one's got an excellent chance. You know, Grade 1 winner, we've seen it in previous years, horses like Neptune Collonge coming towards the end of their career, like have placed in Gold Cups and won at Cheltenham, or that sort of thing. And yeah, I think, is it Gordon Elliott, First Lieutenant? Yeah. So yeah, I mean, fantastic. Mas Morris. Yeah, so obviously a fantastic trainer, and I could see this one running really well.
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that obviously past achievements explain the relatively short price of First Lieutenant, but are you not worried about that recent form?
No.
Okay, in a nutshell, no. So I think there will be plenty of support for that horse on the day. I'm going to move on to the final of my particular selections or shortlist or mentions. And that's the 33-1 shot Royal Knights, Brendan Powell on board. Snuck in there at the bottom of the weights for Dr. Richard Newland. Could he be something of a joker in the pack? Again, hearsay, connections, very keen on his chances. Billing him up as the progressive outsider who could come good here. Won the Durham National back in October at Sedgefield. And third behind Shotgun Paddy and Dower Stayer Carruthers at Warwick in sort of early 2014. He's definitely used to these kind of trips. I don't think we can doubt his stamina. Whether he has the class remains to be seen. So that's my list. Ben, have you got any others you'd like to tick off?
Yeah, there's a couple more that I quite like the look of. First of all, is another Paul Nicholls horse at Union East. Now, people say this horse can't win. He's only 7 years old. We haven't had a 7-year old winner since 1940. He won't win. Blah, blah, blah. Don't listen to them. Now, this horse, he's no ordinary 7-year old. He won the December Gold Cup as a 4-year old. He was the first 4-year old to do so. He's had 14 starts over fences, which is more than twice as many as the favourite Shut the Front Door has had. And I think that he's had more chase starts than I think about 13 or 14 others in this field. So his experience is there. You don't need to worry about that. He looks a real stayer. He took an age to get going behind Coney Gree at Newbury in the Denman Chase. But when he did, he really sort of picked up, and he looked, the further he went, the closest he would have got. I don't think he would have beaten Coney Gree, obviously. But before that, he won a really nice handicap at Sandown, which he stayed on really strongly there. Paul Nicholls sees him as a really good shout for this race, and I think he is. He could be one to carry those colours of Neptune Collonge to victory again, and to shut those people up that say that a 7-year-old can't win the Grand National. One more that I also was fairly interested in is Saint R. Now, this horse used to be fairly decent. He went off the rails a bit towards the end of his spell with Tim Vaughan. He's since moved to Tom George in November, and he's rejuvenated this horse. He's really gone well this season. He's a pound higher than when he was ninth in the race 2 years ago. But I think he's in better form this time round. He was third in the Beecher Chase behind Oscar Time here this season. He's got that experience over fences. He jumps them well. He's been third in a couple of decent handicaps at Cheltenham. He warmed up with a really nice win at Catterick in February, which he was eased down. He's got the cheek pieces on to keep that concentration going. I think with that course experience there, he could run well at a big price as well.
Okay, can't go without mentioning, obviously, that Ben Stones has no respect for those who put slights on youngsters, as shown with his tipping up of Coney Gree for the Gold Cup. So good luck to Connections in Union East and St. R. Matt, bring us home then. Bring us over the final flight.
Yeah, so this is probably going to be my main bet for the National, and that's Al Coe. And when he wins at 25-1, hopefully we get some Al Coe hole. I think this one's gone under the radar a little bit, but I really like his profile. When I pick a Grand National horse, I want one that's been laid out for it all along, and that's certainly been the case. Last year, they campaigned him mostly over hurdles, was forced sending him to the Scottish National, where he won at 40-1. So you're getting 25-1 about a horse that has already won over 4 miles. You know he stays. They've done the same this year, sending him over timber, apart from a run in the Betcher, so he's had a feel for the fences. You know he stays all day, and I think he's got the right profile of a National winner. I really like the booking of Dennis O'Regan too, who I think is one of the best chase jockeys in the game.
Okay, and that lovely introduction you gave as well has rendered my next question pointless, because it was going to be put up your best National bet, Alco.
Yep, it's Alco.
All right, thanks for confirming that. Ben, we'll move on to you then. Who, off your list, who's the one you're sticking, putting a pin sticker in?
I think Rocky Creek's the most likely winner, but I think the value is with Union East, about 25-33-1 mark.
Okay, and I'm going to stick with Monbeg Dude each way. Funnily enough, also my pick from last year. All right, gents, thank you very much for joining me. Very excited about this year's Grand National. Also, very excited to say we will be paying out on 5 places in the Aintree Showpiece. Head to news.ladbrokes.com for all our betting previews and tips, and obviously to our Audio Boom channel. Keep logged on for the other half of this podcast, looking at some of the races, the rest of the races on day 3. And of course, head to ladbrokes.com online, on mobile and on tablet for all the latest odds throughout the big day. Good luck with all your National bets, and we'll catch you again next time.